Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy, 2018, Episode 3. Are you ready to kick this season off? Because we are. Welcome back to a full season of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy. I don't know how many years we've been doing this now, but I'm Travis Justice. He is former Husker All-American, now a doctor who, well, he has a God complex because he's an anesthesiologist.
Oh, come on.
But he is the smartest man I know, the nicest man I know, well, the largest man I know.
That's true.
It's Dr. Rob Zadiska. What's up?
How are you doing? It's almost football season.
You know what?
I'm so excited.
We are now less than a month away. We are recording tonight on Thursday, August 2nd. The first game of the season, of course, will be on September 1st. That means we are very, very excited in less than a month from kickoff. And Rob, we record this on Thursday. That means everybody has reported and practice starts again on Friday. And take me back. A lot of things have changed, but a lot of things haven't changed. That anticipation, that nervousness, that just excitement before you take the field for the very first time.
Yeah, I think from a player standpoint, you're kind of living it to a degree a year round. The nice thing about the start of fall practice is that it's finally for real. You're going through spring ball. You're going through summer conditioning. You've had the winter conditioning previous to that. Now it's for real. You're putting the pads on. It's not going to be like spring ball where it's basically just you got a month of practice and then, well, big scrimmage at the end, although it's a really big glorified scrimmage now. But it's for real. That's the thing that players like about it. You're finally going to get to hit somebody with a different helmet.
Do you know what today is, by the way?
I'm not sure. Something about beer?
Today is National IPA Day. Now, when you're listening to this podcast, it may not be National IPA Day, but we are recording on August 2nd, which means it's National IPA Day. And back for another season on the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy, is Infusion Brewing Company.
God, I love those guys.
We love the Infusion Brewing Company. And today we are drinking the Nelson Galaxy IPA. And I got to be honest with you. My palate has changed so much over the last couple of years that I'm now able to handle the IPAs. When I first started drinking the craft beer, I probably wasn't into the IPAs that much. I didn't like the hoppiness. Now I've grown into the IPA.
I give you a little bit of grief about that. Say you got to turn in your man card.
I know.
You didn't have the palate for an IPA. But on the flip side, you used to be kind of a bourbon guy.
Yeah, and I love bourbon, but I don't like scotch. I don't like scotch because it's too peaty. I like the bourbon.
I don't know if I could tell the difference.
Oh, you can tell the difference.
I like beer.
Yeah, and that's fair. And we're going to be drinking Infusion Brewing Company beer all season long. Today it is the Nelson Galaxy IPA 6.2. alcohol by volume, a 67 IBU, not that hoppy.
Not off the charts.
No.
You know what? It's got a hop start. It's got a hop finish. It's kind of a little citrusy in the middle. It's not overpowering in any sense. I really like it. It's a pretty darn drinkable IPA.
This IPA has the Nelson Sauvin and Galaxy hops with notes of citrus, passion fruit, and white wine. If you want to try the Nelson Galaxy IPA, go to the Infusion Brewing Company. You can go to the original on Maple Street in Benson or the tap room and brewery operation in West Omaha. Again, Infusion Brewing going to be on board all season long. Look for maybe a Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy beer actually coming your way sometime this season. And I promise you this, we will do one, maybe two podcast recordings live at Infusion Brewing Company in Benson throughout the season. We'd love to have you join us, drink beer with us, talk football with us, and just have a good old time. Also back for another season on the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy is Ticket Express. Ticket Express wants to remind you that Husker football is less than 30 days away, and Ticket Express is your source for game tickets, parking passes, and Champions Club passes, so let them help you make your Husker game day all it can be. Go to TicketExpress.com. Again, TicketExpress.com, and you will not find better seats, better customer service, and better satisfaction when it comes to getting your Husker tickets. And as I mentioned, it's going to be a busy, busy year. There's going to be an all-time high demand for tickets because of Scott Frost. We'll call it the Frost Effect. But Ticket Express is the place to go at TicketExpress.com. And, of course, when you go to the game, when you're out and about, when you're showing your Husker pride, you need to go to Husker Hounds. Scotty at Husker Hounds also back on board for another season. And do I have something to tell you? The preseason sidewalk sale runs Friday, August 3rd through Sunday, August 5th. Everything outside is 50 to 75% off. Let me repeat, everything outside on the sidewalk is 50 to 75% off. Back to school sale. All Husker backpacks, 40% off now through August. New Adidas coaches apparel has arrived. Husker Hounds season hours are now in effect Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and as Scott says, go Big Red. Scott's fired up about this season.
He is. I got to run by there because I give money to Scott.
I'm so happy to say, because this podcast would not be possible if it wasn't for Dave Remington and the Remington Trophy. This podcast was Dave Remington's idea. He's been a supporter for it. Is this year 4, 5? I don't even know how many years
they're
we've
kind
been
of
doing
starting,
it.
We've done it just long enough. They're starting to run together. It's kind of hard to remember exactly.
It really
we've
is.
All been good years.
Because we have been doing television for so long together.
Well, either that or maybe I've just been drinking enough Infusion beer. I don't remember how long we've been.
But I
got to
see Dave and the whole crew out at the Remington Trophy at the Remington football camp at Millard South. He was in good spirits. He's looking forward to the season. He's excited about the podcast. He did say, "Hey, could you guys ease up on the F-bombs?" So our pledge to you, per Dave Remington, less F-bombs throughout the season.
Infusion does another release of Loose Morals. I'm not taking any responsibility for what I said.
Now, I'm not saying we're not going to swear on this podcast, but we're going to try our hardest to cut down on the F-bombs. Can't make outright promises, but when Dave Remington looks you in the eye and says, "Hey, there might be kids listening to the show. Can you cut down on the F-bombs?" And I had to drop an F-bomb at that point and said, "Okay, Dave, whatever you want. It's your podcast. We will do what you want." He's actually getting ready to go to Burning Man out in...
he likes his Burning
Man. And he's taking Mitch Crank with him. So Mitch is
now
going...
that'll be kind of interesting. I know. If any of you guys know former Husker and Chicago Bear Mitch Crank, I don't know. Mitch is a good guy, but he seems a little more staid, conservative... Midwestern.
If you're listening to that, Mitch, that's what Rob thinks of. You're staid, you're conservative.
Great guy. I mean, he's a fun guy.
Something tells me.
I like Mitch a lot.
You're going to see stuff at Burning Man out in the middle of the desert.
A good Nebraska City kid.
Yeah. Oh, you know what?
Just stuff you don't see down there in the apple orchards.
I would agree. It's going to be a completely different experience. So Mitch and Dave, make sure to have fun at Burning Man. The Remington Trophy presentation coming up January 12, 2019. That's right. January 12, 2019 at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln, 6:30 for cocktails, 7:30 for dinner. And if you want to see the Remington Trophy watch list, it is now out at RemingtonTrophy.com. That's RemingtonTrophy.com. Throughout the season, once we get started and games are being played, we'll do an update on players that are on the watch list as we count down to the 2018 Remington Trophy winner. Rob, the big news throughout college football in the last couple days.
Anything new?
Does not center around Nebraska. It actually centers around Urban Meyer. At the time of this recording, Urban Meyer has not yet been fired by Ohio State, but he has been put on paid administrative leave. It has come out that Alex Smith, a former wide receivers coach, beat his wife several times, and it has now been, even after he denied not knowing about it, text messages, pictures. There's a lot of evidence that shows that Urban Meyer did know about it and did nothing about it. Does Urban Meyer survive this?
I do not see any way he gets out of this. I suppose, you know, I haven't seen all the text messages, just kind of stuff that's been reported on them, and there's a lot of dialogue about the fact that, well, maybe Urban's wife knew all of this stuff through discussions and counseling with Courtney Smith. Supposedly she could fall on the sword and say she never ever told Urban that. So maybe there might end up being a lack of kind of like really hard concrete evidence massive amount of circumstantial. You can't tell me he didn't know this. The problem is for Ohio State, are they going to have enough hard evidence to fire him with cause?
No, I think what they're doing now, if anything...
I think now they're negotiating a buyout. That's what they're doing right now.
That's what most people would stipulate. And if you believe...
Which goes back to, no, he doesn't survive this. I mean, that's us saying, I don't think he's their coach this season.
Now, I would say this. If Urban Meyer's wife says, nope, I didn't tell Urban Meyer... I said this on my radio show this morning. And by the way, if you want to listen...
Sorry for the cursing, Dave. That's bullshit.
If you want to listen to my radio show, you can download the iHeartRadio app. Just search KXNO. You'll get a lot of Iowa and Iowa State talk, but you get to hear me in the mornings. Anyway, I said this on my radio show this morning. And that is, if Urban Meyer's wife didn't tell him, then their marriage is on the rocks. Because I would say that most normal married people, even when there's a secret, say, hey, I have something to tell you. Don't tell anybody, but I got to talk to you about it.
But what does that say about her if it's a situation that, okay, let's say, for instance, I don't believe this, but just for instance, let's say she knew, didn't tell Urban, and she's sitting on this information that, hey, your wide receivers coach that's been with you since you were at Florida. I'm not sure if he was with...
He was with him.
Was he at Utah?
Well, here's the deal. No, he wasn't at Utah. He played for him at Bowling Green, joined him at Florida.
Knew he was at Florida.
Joined him at Ohio State. And let's not forget that he's Earl Bruce's grandson.
Yep. So he's sort of... he's Ohio State legacy.
Yeah, so there are reasons here...
So you got this guy that's been on your staff all these years... There's some evidence, again, at least circumstantial, that Urban knew about this at Florida, and that
2009.
That some of this might be the reason Urban left Florida.
I don't know if this was. I mean, he had 31 players arrested in Florida, and you know,
now, there was issues there.
There were issues there. Well, which brings this up again. I'm not one to pounce on the demise of Urban Meyer, because when you throw stones in glass houses, you have to be very careful. Because I will say this.
You beat your wife?
Say this. If you don't think every college coach in America at one time has covered something up in hopes that nobody finds out, you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. And I saw a lot of Husker fans on Facebook and Twitter celebrating this. And I said, don't forget your past. Because your past isn't always the best.
But what was covered up?
It wasn't covered up, but what I'm saying is...
I'm not saying it was always squeaky clean, but I always thought Osborne tried to be within reason transparent.
I would agree. But wouldn't you say that it's not really a forced cover-up, but if it never got in the news, there's no sense talking about it, right? There's no sense talking about it if nobody found out about it. And I'm saying at least
as long as justice was done.
But not always justice, because Urban Meyer is going to come back and say, charges weren't filed in 2009, and charges were not filed in 2015. If charges are not filed...
I agree with you in that regard. It's sort of a... You've got courts, and then you've got the court of public opinion.
Yes. And
that court of public opinion oftentimes speaks louder. I mean, look at Ray Rice.
Yeah.
You had a guy that... Yeah, I mean, he was punished through the court systems. He got punished by the NFL. Then the video got released, leaked out, however you want to call it, of him just physically, just completely.
He clocked her.
Yeah, completely knocking his, at the time, fiance unconscious. And that was the death knell for his career. He'll never play football again. The guy was an all-pro running back. He, if you want to split hairs, the guy technically paid his debt to society, at least in eyes of a prosecutor in New Jersey.
But then again, the Houston Astros just signed a guy who beat up his girlfriend. The Dallas Cowboys seem to do it on a regular basis. This is where we're hypocrites. If we know about it and it's out there and he helps us win, well, we might be able to turn a blind eye. But if there's a cover-up involved, if you're like, oh, my God, you protected a guy, it's the worst thing in the world.
And that's I think that's the thing that really gets people is the cover-up side of it. It's
what did Urban Meyer know, and when did he know it?
It is, and I guess the reason I'm kind of pausing here because I'm trying to think of a way to phrase this.
I mean, it's a tough subject.
It is. There's almost a... when you cover something up, it's, I think there's sort of a public opinion sense that I know this was wrong, I know it's horrible, but I'm going to cover it up because I'm okay with it. I know nobody else is. I know it's not right, but I'm okay with it. And I think that's what the cover-up says to people, is that it's sort of a tacit acknowledgement that, hey, I, Urban Meyer, was okay with this. I'm okay with the fact that this guy beat his wife. I'm keeping him on my staff and hoping nobody ever finds out.
But see, I don't believe that's really the case. That's the public. That's what public opinion says. Having grown up in a family full of abuse, I watched spousal abuse until I was 17 or 18 years old. It's not fun to watch. And you lie and you cover things up because it's embarrassing, because you don't want to embarrass the person. You don't want to embarrass. I'm just saying.
But I mean, part of that cover up is keeping him on his staff.
Yes.
He could have told Zach Smith, listen, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to give a reason why. We'll figure something out, but you can't be on this staff anymore.
What do you think of what Zach Smith told his wife, Courtney, in one of the text messages, or what she said in the interview, was that if this ever gets out and I get arrested and I go down, I'm going to take everybody at Ohio State down with me. Do you think Urban Meyer could have been blackmailed?
Oh, that's a good question.
Didn't mean to throw you off.
No, I mean, again, I'm kind of thinking here, it's a good question.
But what are you being blackmailed for? Recruiting? Cheating? I mean, how is a guy like him going to take Urban Meyer
but
down?
But Urban already fired the guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, this came out, he got fired. Well, what's he going to do at this point?
Well, what I thought was interesting, and everybody, I'm not sure he gains everybody any, has an
I'm,
opinion.
I'm
at
not
this
sure
point.
He gains anything by dumping more dirt out there.
Everybody has an opinion at this point, and everybody is pronounced. I'm going to say, Brett McMurphy, great job reporting because you stayed on the story. Everybody else at Big Ten Media Days, shame on you. Because I can go back to the day Zach Smith was fired. I went on the radio. Now, I'm on the radio in Des Moines. I don't have the ability to go dig up stuff in Ohio State. But I said this, the day Zach Smith was fired, and when we knew that he broke a restraining order, I said, if you don't think that Urban Meyer knows about this, you're crazy. Urban Meyer knows exactly what's going on. Coaches are control freaks. You show me a head coach at the Division I level at a big-time program that is not a control freak, and I want to meet him because I've never met him. He knew what happened in Florida because he actually went to Courtney and said, don't press charges. It'll ruin his life. It's a one-time thing he was drinking. In 2015, Zach Smith brought Urban Meyer's secretary home to try to get a threesome going, and his wife said no. I'm taking her home. She comes back home and gets beat up, has pictures, texts them to Urban Meyer's wife. So Urban Meyer knew, I knew that he knew, and all the Big Ten media took it. And you know how you knew Urban Meyer was lying? You know what a liar does? He gets defensive and he starts to bully because he gets defensive like, oh my God, how could you say that? How could you say that I knew? And then he starts, that's the bullying, and then he just deflects and like, I don't know what you're talking about, just move on because he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to face it. And everybody gave up on the story. If you think about it, everybody gave up on the story.
It kind of went away for a week there. I mean, that story just disappeared for a week.
It was okay.
But the guy got fired.
But every one of those guys that gave up on it are the first ones to pounce. Well, oh my God, the guy needs to go. And I'm not saying he shouldn't be fired. I'm just saying this thing went away. And if it wasn't for one guy.
It was a great job by McMurphy.
And he did it on Facebook because he didn't have a job. Think about that. The story was released on Facebook.
ESPN fired him.
ESPN fires him, and he breaks probably the biggest story in college football. But at the end of the day, everybody's watching ESPN because nobody really cares about the story. Nobody cares about the story of Urban Meyer. They care about the reaction that everybody has to Urban Meyer. They care about what you're saying. They care about what college coaches are saying. They care about what former players are saying because people love the reaction. That's why podcasts are popular. You have information, and then you have reaction to that. It'll be interesting. Again, at the time of this recording, Urban Meyer is still the head football coach at Ohio State. I don't think he'll be the head coach at the end of the year, but that
at the end of the year,
or
I don't think he'll be the head coach next week.
That creates an interesting problem for Ohio State because if you're a player that's just committed, You're going to go to the NCAA and say, hey, you let every Baylor player go without transferring. You let every Ole Miss player go without transferring or without transfer rules. You let every Penn State player. School hasn't started. I'm getting the hell out of Dodge, and I'm not losing a year of eligibility. I'm not taking a redshirt year. I'm not starting school, or I'm taking a year off. He had a great recruiting class.
He always has great recruiting classes.
Are you going to let that go? And does Ohio State feel that they can replace a national championship coach with a national championship coach?
I think they do feel that, but I think it's going to – well, I shouldn't say that. I don't think they're going to get one August 2018.
No.
They're going to go through. They're going to have a Luke Fickell season, is what they're going to have,
which is really too bad because the Ohio State
Nebraska beat Luke Fickell.
the Buckeyes start the coaches poll out ranked third in the country.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that. I do think Urban's a difference maker. I really do believe that when it comes to being a coach, I think the guy was a complete difference maker. A guy like Jim Tressel was a difference maker,
and he got fired over tattoos.
Tats. Well, as somebody pointed out, I called it the tattoo scandal, which by scandal I referenced the cover-up of the tattoos being traded for merchandise being traded for tattoos, rather. But if you remember, the whole Penn State Jerry Sandusky scandal came out a couple of months after the Jim Tressel one did. And we all thought, oh my God, Jim Tressel, this guy was just complete dereliction of duty as a head football coach. Then the Penn State thing happened, and all of a sudden we were like, oh, my God, I can't believe they fired Jim Tressel for that. But it's always the cover-up that you get fired for.
It is. The cover-up is always worse than the crime. And because now the crime of Alex Smith is bad. The crime of Urban Meyer is the cover-up, and that's why he'll lose his job.
It is, but I do have a fundamental problem with Urban Meyer knowing this.
So do I.
And not doing anything about it. The fact that he can't, I mean, I understand what your point was about, okay, well, charges weren't filed, et cetera.
I'm just saying that's part of it. I'm not saying
you need a guy like that to not be a part of your program.
I would agree, but don't you think there are sometimes college programs when players get in trouble and charges aren't filed, doesn't mean nothing didn't happen. Should those players be dismissed from a football team? Because the teams will always go back. Charges weren't filed. The law played out. He's back on the team. I mean, I'm just saying.
If the law actually does play out, but I don't think it necessarily did in this case. Because Courtney Smith didn't file charges.
Let me ask you this:
I'm not saying I blame her for not filing charges. I'm just saying I don't think you can use that as a valid argument. Okay. If you go to the police, you go to the prosecutor, you say, listen, here, this has to go through the court system. But there's been instances down in Lincoln where, I'm the big defensive tackle got dismissed from the team, ended up going out to Youngstown State. Anyway, you had a guy that went through the Title IX committee at Nebraska. He did his probation, paid his debt to society from a criminal court standpoint. Yeah. But the Title IX committee down in Lincoln decided, you're not coming back on campus. And so I think there has to be that process. Even if it goes through the court system, I still think that has to happen. And that's what didn't happen at places like Baylor. That's what didn't happen.
Baylor.
At Penn State, or I'm sorry, not Penn State,
Michigan State.
At Michigan State. You didn't have people reporting this. Michigan State, that was pretty blatant criminal.
Yeah.
That guy should rot in prison.
So Ohio State has another scandal on its hand, a sexual abuse scandal with wrestling dating back to the 80s. So this would be interesting to see how, including Gene Smith. Gene Smith was the athletic director under Jim Tressel, that all took place. He's been the athletic director under Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel were the coaches under Gene Smith.
Okay, sure, whatever. You go ahead and believe that. And just like Gary Barta is the boss of Kirk Ferentz, just like Bill Moose is really the boss of Scott Frost. No. The head football coach at power universities or established athletic departments runs the athletic department. I believe it. They have more power than the athletic director.
Until your wide receivers coach abuses
exactly.
His life, then you don't.
Yep, that's exactly what happens. The first coach's poll of the season is out. We're going to move on from Urban Meyer. Oh, you know, I do have one more question. And Husker fans are going to get mad at me for asking this. If the Lawrence Phillips situation would happen today, would Lawrence Phillips be allowed back on the team? No. Not in the Me Too movement. There's just no way.
In this day and age, no.
Would Tom Osborne have kept his job in this day and age?
Yes.
I would agree with you, let him back on the team.
I agree. Well,
then I think because you would have had 10 times more of what Bernard Goldberg did. And I'm talking about in today's day and age, the protest, he could not have let Lawrence Phillips back on the team.
I don't think he would have ever made it back onto the team. I don't think that would have happened in this day and age.
Yeah.
But I don't think he loses his job over it because there's only so much. Because
he didn't cover it up. He addressed it right away.
Oh, he was arrested.
Yes. There's not much you could cover up.
That one definitely went through the criminal court system. That one, there was no cover.
But I think.
And here's the thing I tweeted about this. I thought we ran a pretty transparent program when I was down in school there. There were guys that got suspended for this or that. You know what? It was in the newspaper. Player suspended. And sometimes it was if it wasn't a – I'm trying to think of a way to put this. If it was a quote-unquote victimless crime, it wasn't an assault of any type. There wasn't a person-on-person crime. You know, I'm talking about things like alcohol offenses. Yeah. Public drunkenness, things like that. If it was something like that, I mean, it would always end up in the paper. Such and such player suspended for violation of of team rules.
Well, look at what's going on over at Iowa right now. Brady Reif gets drunk 2:00 in the morning, calls an Uber, tries to get in the car. It's a cop car, not the Uber car. Oops.
That gets you every time.
Tristan Wirfs. Great offensive tackle. Going to be suspended the first game because he decides to drive his motor scooter with two people on it and blows a
0.129. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, that stuff happens. It makes the newspaper. Guy gets suspended. That happened when I was in Lincoln. I think for the most part, stuff stayed pretty transparent. The one time that I recall that something that wasn't transparent. And this made the newspapers. I'm not trying to drag a guy through the dirt, and I'm not like putting info.
I mean, it's 30 years
there.
Later.
Yeah, it's 30 years. It's only 24 years later, asshole.
He called me an asshole.
Yeah, this isn't stuff that hasn't been in the media. It's been in the media, so it's not like I'm breaking a code of silence here. Tyrone Williams, all conference, all American defensive back, played a bunch of years for the Packers. Honestly, a good guy. I really like Tyrone. Somehow he came into the possession of a handgun. He got in a big fight with his girlfriend. Verbal fight, or verbal argument, middle of the street. I think it was actually outside Abel Sandoz down on campus. She and her friends get in a car, start driving away. Before the car actually starts driving away, he pulls out the gun and puts a bullet or two into the trunk of the car. Don't think he was actually trying to shoot the people. He was just, I'm going to screw your car up here because I'm so damn pissed at you. Well, not exactly a non-criminal activity here.
That's, no.
Yeah, that's jail time right there. And he did. He spent time in jail for it. But I remember when that happened, and it came out that, okay, the police are coming to get me. I remember Tyrone went to the kind of the guy who had recruited him on the team, who was Kevin Steele, the linebackers coach. And Steele asked him, okay, well, where's the gun? And Tyrone gave the gun to Kevin Steele. Now, I think there was a little bit of a lag time before that firearm actually got turned over to police. And Kevin Steele ended up undergoing an inquiry as to, okay, did you actually break the law here, A, by taking possession of this gun, and or B, not turning it over to police immediately and letting us know, hey, here's the firearm. And I remember Kevin took a lot of heat for that. That might be the least transparent thing that I saw from a criminal justice standpoint during the time period that I was down in Lincoln. Everything else played out in the media.
So everything. What if there was an arrest? What say there wasn't something that got, you know, into the police blotter, but it went to the Unity Council? There had to be stuff that went to the Unity Council that was never made public.
You know, I mean, there. I can't think of anything that was truly blatantly criminal.
Okay.
I really can't.
No, and that's cool. That's cool. I believe you. I would have no reason not to believe you.
Yeah, it's just I can't think of anything that if there was something like that, Osborne, I think he was smart enough and I think he had enough sense that if there was something criminal, I think he saw, okay, the long-term ramifications of this on the program are too great not to call the police about and make sure we take care of this properly. So, look, here's a, for instance, with Urban Meyer, in terms of overall career protection.
Okay.
Best thing he could have done is when he first heard about this with Alex Smith. Is it Alex Smith? The wide receivers coach?
Yeah. Or no, Zach Smith.
Sorry, Zach Smith.
Alex Smith, former Chiefs quarterback.
Gotcha. Quarterback for Urban Meyer at Utah. So when this happened with Zach Smith, you got to cut the guy loose. Now, if it's one of these things where his wife says, okay, it happened, I'm not pressing charges, okay, fine. But even as a coach, I don't think it's his place to tell that wife to not press charges. I really, truly think he should have not done that. So does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Hey, the first coaches poll, the preseason coaches poll out. By the way, polls are stupid, but it gives us something to talk about. Polls would be great if they didn't come out. That's why I like the BCS poll, because it comes out like later in the season when people have played some games.
It's smarter.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot smarter.
It gives us something to talk about.
It does. Alabama, number one. Clemson, number two.
I would never have thought that. Clemson's going to be really good.
Ohio State, number three. Georgia, number four. Oklahoma, number five. Other Big Ten teams in the top 25. Wisconsin comes in at number seven. Penn State comes in at number nine. Michigan State comes in at number 12. Watch the Spartans. Dan Antonio had a down year last year. I think they're going to be pretty darn good this year.
You know, he won 10 games.
It wasn't. No, that was 2 years ago.
No, 2 years ago was the horrible season.
Was it?
Last year was the rebound year, although it was a little bit of smoke and mirrors. There was a lot of
No. 2 years ago is when they played Iowa in the Big Ten Championship game, because Iowa went unbeaten during
that
the regular
three
season.
3 years ago, Travis.
No.
Beer.
No.
Beer.
No.
Beer.
No.
Beer.
C.J. Beathard was a...
Last year, Travis.
Was it?
God. 2017.
These years are flying by. Michigan, number 14.
I'm the one with blows to his head.
I know. Nebraska not getting votes. That's not a surprise because it's going to be.
Iowa get votes?
Iowa did get votes. Iowa got 8 votes. Iowa State got 8 votes. Listen, if Iowa doesn't win this
Matt
year.
How about Campbell? Everybody's pegging Campbell.
I'm not
the
buying that.
Buckeye coach.
I'm not buying that because is Ohio State fans going to be okay with a guy that won 2 games? 8 games, and they may be better this year, but may have a worse record.
They were okay with Jim Tressel coming from a 1AA program.
But he was an Ohio guy.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that, you know, obviously Matt Campbell has Ohio ties. I'm just saying Jim Tressel had a bigger name than Matt Campbell did at the point.
Although I look at Campbell, and the guy kind of reminds me of like a young Urban Meyer. Except maybe he doesn't cover up wife-beating incidents.
I did a radio show in Sioux Falls, South Dakota last week, and I said, what's the motto for Iowa? And it says, if we don't win, we suck. Because their schedule's ridiculously easy. It's disgusting. I mean, I'm an Iowa guy. I host the Iowa Call-In Show. I mean, like, if they don't win 10 games, it's a disappointment. I mean, it's that easy of a schedule. We'll get to what you think Nebraska is going to be later on, because we're going to start recording week after week after week after week. But I do, David wrote in on the Gmail account, and if you ever want to write Dr. Rob, have a question throughout the week, email Dr. Rob, doctalksports@gmail.com, doctalksports@gmail.com, or you can reach out to him on Twitter, at @doctalksports.
I do check Twitter pretty regularly.
You do, yeah, and now that season's back in full bloom, you'll be on there a lot more. How do you think this staff will use the new redshirt rule, and who do you think are the freshmen that may see playing time because of this rule? Of course, you could play four games now and then go back and take a redshirt if that's what you want.
I don't know how this is going to pan out. This will be interesting to see, because this is a rule that you got guys like DeMornay Pearsonell, some of these other guys that could have bought them an extra year. I think that's where it's going to come into play, is that you're going to see with the guys who play two, three games get hurt and are now going to get that extra year. I think it's a good thing. I actually really like the rule.
I do too. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think that it's actually a pretty sensible thing to do. So I don't know. And I say I don't know in the sense because, you know, it's this is something we're just going to have to see how it goes. We've got so many incoming freshmen that I think are going to be potential game changers. I mean, Martinez is kind of the key one.
Do you think he starts?
Yeah. I just think he fits better what Frost wants to do than Jebbia. The only other thing I could see is if a guy like Noah Vedral gets... eligibility. I don't know if he's going to get it. But if Noah Vedral gets eligibility to play right away, all of a sudden that kind of opens a whole new opportunity there, because you got a guy who kind of knows Frost's system. Vedral's a pretty damn good athlete. I think the fact that he came out of Wahoo, like the one big offer he had was Central Florida. But you got a guy that Frost was willing to give a scholarship to at Central Florida and got some reps behind Mackenzie Milton. That's saying something. I think the guy's a pretty good athlete. I don't know if he quite measures up athletically to a guy like Martinez. Martinez is a little bit of a next-level athlete.
Well, and what do you got to lose? If you've made the scheme change, if you've made the offensive change, ride the horse that you want, right? No, you don't need to keep anybody happy. You go in and say, you're my guy.
And if the guy's the best guy, I think Frost is, if anything, he's pragmatic. If you're the best guy, you're going to play.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I think that's going to be Martinez, and I think the guy who's going to work that system the best is going to be Martinez.
Nick writes in, hey, Travis, as a Husker fan living behind enemy lines in Iowa, hey now, one thing that puzzles me regarding Iowa fan base, and he's asking me because I host the Iowa Hawkeye Cohen show on WHO on Saturdays. It's almost as if they hate Nebraska more than they like their own team. I find it bizarre that at times Hawkeye fans almost obsess over Nebraska and what is going on inside the program, albeit good or bad. I find it odd that many Hawkeye fans oftentimes go out of the way to spark up conversations regarding Nebraska football. What's your take on this? Thanks, guys. Love the show. I think you're being a little sensitive. I don't think Iowa fan hates Nebraska any more than it hates Wisconsin. I really don't. I don't think it hates Nebraska. I would say it hates Nebraska more than Minnesota, because I think it's turned into a better rivalry. There have been better games than the Minnesota game has been over the last couple of years. Don't get me wrong. Wisconsin is still Iowa's number one rival. It just is. I mean, that's established. It's a border war. It's been there a lot longer. I think what happens is Iowa fan gets frustrated because and I've learned this by hosting a show in Des Moines. There's a huge Iowa fan base, and people may not know this. There's a large Iowa fan base in Omaha.
Well, there is.
There's a large Nebraska contingent.
Ference does the little they do that little University of Iowa. I don't know, what do you call it?
They call it the Hawkeye Huddle type thing.
There you go, yeah, where they come to Omaha. And
but what I've learned hosting a show...
Yeah, they bring Kirk and Fran, and it draws a crowd.
In Des Moines, there's a lot of Nebraska fans in Des Moines. And I think what happens is, it's no different than if you... I grew up in Western Iowa. I grew up in Minden, Iowa. I grew up 30 miles from Omaha. I grew up an Iowa fan, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're that close to Omaha, you never got Iowa news. It was always Nebraska news. So when I became a sports director at Omaha, first at Channel 42 and later on at Channel 3, I swore to God, I'm going to give more Iowa news because that's what I'm here to do. I'm out to change the culture. Guess what I didn't do?
Change the culture.
I did not change the culture because I knew what people wanted, and people wanted Nebraska news. So if you're living behind enemy lines, if you're so-called, if you're in central Iowa, and you bring up Nebraska, well, people are going to talk to you about it because they, you're obviously going to talk about your five national titles and your Heisman Trophy winners, and people are going to take swipes at you and say you live in the past. But I think it's because, just like an Iowa fan living in Omaha, if you're a Husker fan living in enemy territory, it's going to heighten your senses a little bit more.
I think it does, although...
Trust me, I host the show. I've been around the program a while.
I think Iowa fans respect Wisconsin. They hate them.
Yes.
But they respect them.
Yes, because they like the style of play. It's very, I mean, very conservative, very basic.
It is. You know, Iowa fans hate Nebraska. I don't know if they hate them. They strongly dislike them. There's, like, no respect. And I don't know if that's... I don't think that's necessarily an inappropriate thing because I don't think since Nebraska's joined the Big Ten...
It's earned that respect.
It hasn't earned it yet from Iowa.
And that's fair.
I hate saying that. But if you want to look at the record, I mean, for God's sakes, they hung 28 points in the third quarter on us last year alone. I was there at the game with my youngest daughter. End of the third quarter is 42-14. We left to go get pizza and watch the Central Florida Memphis game.
What's Iowa won? Three straight in the series now?
I believe, yes.
And I think I'm with you. There's a dislike there. But when it comes to respect, I don't think it's a non-respect. It's like, hey, if you're going to flap your mouth, and people are going to get mad at me because, but if you're going to talk a big game about how great you are and your history, at least be competitive now, right? I think that, yeah. And that's what you're talking about.
It is. Well, and there is kind of a perception thing here.
Hey, listen, okay, Nebraska has a much better history than Iowa football. Okay, I'm never going to deny that.
So here's the way I'd phrase it for the average Iowa or Nebraska fan. Iowa, Wisconsin would be akin to like Nebraska, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's kind of that one where you looked at and said, okay, we really don't like each other, but there's a lot of respect there. They had, I think it was the last year Nebraska played Oklahoma in Lincoln, they brought back all major award winners and coaches for both teams. Halftime had all the guys, all the Heisman winners, Outland winners, Lombardi winners from both teams come out onto the field. All of these Oklahoma players got, I mean, you had a stadium full of Nebraska fans cheering for him. Then they introduced Barry Switzer.
Standing O.
Broke our hearts so many freaking times. The guy got like a 7-minute standing ovation. It was insane. There's a lot of respect for what all those games represented.
But don't you think that develops over time? You appreciate it more as it goes on.
It does. Now, here's the corollary. Iowa, Nebraska, I think in Iowa fans' minds, is what Nebraska, Colorado, or Nebraska, K-State is in Nebraska fans' minds. It's one of those, you guys are a bunch of wannabes who are never going to measure up. And
you know what?
Maybe you should quit bitching. And
I wouldn't disagree at all. But I have said this, and I'm glad Bill Moose and Gary Barta have talked about getting the Iowa-Nebraska game back on Black Friday. I do believe over the course of time, this game becomes, if both stay competitive.
Well, I think it will, and the fact that Iowa has now won, what, three out of the last four?
Yeah.
Four out of the last five, something like that. All of a sudden, Nebraska's sitting here going, okay, we need to start winning some frickin' games against these guys.
And I do think the key to this rivalry is Nebraska can't be like Nebraska's been the last 5 years, and Iowa can't go backwards. They both have to be competitive to make it a fun rivalry, to make it worth
fans. I guarantee
fans.
Nebraska fans will have a lot of fun if it's uncompetitive in Nebraska's favor.
Yes, they will. Yes, but it's not good for football if it's not competitive.
No, it's not.
It's not. All right, let's dive into some stuff that has taken place since the last time we talked, and that is probably the biggest news. Dave Ellis has returned as the
we got asked about this on Twitter.
The nutritionist now, and I remember Dave. I mean, but one of the first stories I ever did. I was at Fox 42 at the time. Had to be back in 94, 95 maybe. He was handing out creatine like it was candy, and I did a story on creatine. And
love creatine.
I thought it was one of my favorite stories I did. But I developed a friendship with Dave. I'm lucky enough to be friends with Dave on Facebook. I wonder if he'll defriend me now or if he shuts off his Facebook page. But he's been gone for a while. He's been out in Colorado. He's done a lot of stuff. But how important, you know, Scott is relying a lot on the history of Nebraska football and bringing a lot back. Ron Brown bringing one of them. We'll touch on that. But just from a nutrition standpoint, people don't think about nutrition as being a big thing, but what you put into your body is very important. Let me look at you.
I always thought Dave was a gay, what, beer? No, I always thought Dave, honest to God, was a game changer.
Really?
In that regard. You know, he was the guy who really, basically, the guy was the Boyd Epley of college sports nutrition. He was the guy who kind of brought it to the forefront and essentially made it mainstream within college athletics because people saw what he was doing at Nebraska. Because all of a sudden, Nebraska's now winning national titles in football. Nebraska's winning national titles in volleyball. Won it in 95. Men's and women's basketball had some great years there in the 90s. The guy was a difference maker, and the stuff he does is very cutting edge, and he stays so far ahead of the curve from a research standpoint, it's mind-blowing. I got to be honest. The stuff we took, whether it was the multivitamins, the nutrition itself, when Dave came in, there was an absolute and complete overhaul in the training table in terms of what we were eating, fats, carbohydrates, proteins. The guy had stuff calculated out to the ounce, and it was amazing the results we saw from it. Now, that there's a really, really fine line between being good and being great. It's close. It's really close. To cross that line, and this is kind of one of my little mantras. So I always, anytime I give a talk to a group, this is one of my little mantras I talk about. It's an incredibly fine line between good and truly great. They're so close together. The amount of work to get across that line is huge. And what Dave did nutritionally was one of the things that pushed us across that line. It really was. And when he left Nebraska, I don't think it was truly of his own accord. I think that was kind of the Dave was a Steve Peterson fallout guy, like a lot of people were. But the stuff he did was just absolutely groundbreaking from a nutritional standpoint. You literally saw guys' bodies change shape due to what he did.
So nutrition can do that, can change your body's shape. These guys work out a lot anyway.
Okay, you know my jokes. Well, they do now. Yeah, you had the Nick Gates of the world where you'd look at him and go, my God, that guy's fat and skinny at the same time. It's just not quite right. Dave and Zach Duvall fixed that shit.
You're swearing again.
Sorry, Mr. Remington.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Ron Brown comes back. This one was a little controversial.
It was. I think Ron's a guy. You know, I'm trying to remember.
I mean, he was. He's here. A Christian. He wears it on his sleeve, and he doesn't like gays. Am I wrong?
No.
I shouldn't say that he doesn't like them. He doesn't approve of the lifestyle.
He doesn't. And I'm one of those guys that, going back to what John Bruning said as Attorney General, you know what, you want to marry a chair, knock yourself out, go for it. It's whatever you do is your thing. I would fully expect you to not care what I do.
Is that a cisgender or is that a queer? I don't know what they call them
now. I have no clue.
I don't know.
I'm wrong.
If you want to marry your chair, I don't know what that's called.
Anyway,
And no, I'm not being negative.
Here's the thing. It's not like Ron Brown wasn't around after that happened, where he came up and testified against essentially, which was a equal rights amendment to, I thought, the Nebraska state constitution. Somebody, I'm sure, will correct me on my facts. It's not like he did that as a parting shot before he left Nebraska. He was around for a goodly amount of time after that happened.
He testified in front of the Omaha City Council, I believe.
So it's not, and that's my point. I guess it's
which I thought was stupid because he wasn't an Omaha resident.
I found it a little odd myself. I love Ron.
So do I. I think he's a great guy.
On a personal level, he's a great guy. That said, I found it a little odd at the time. But yeah, it's not like that happened, and then he left the state and hasn't been back since. Yeah. And this is his first return since that incident.
It's not.
For a few years. Yeah, he was here for a few years after that happened, still coaching, and there was less. And it's a changing times thing. There was less outcry then, and in the years afterwards. The fact that he's back now, I like the fact that Ron's back. I think he'll be good for the program. Here's the other thing. I also think he's probably changed. I would be willing to bet
he just came from Liberty University.
Hold on. Here's the reason I say that. I was at a speaking engagement with Ron. This was a bug eaters meeting, which, if you know about bug eaters, that's a little bit of a closed door organization.
It's a cult. It's like you're like Freemasons.
Whatever. It's like a Husker cult. Of course, that's the state of Nebraska. So we're at this meeting, and Ron was asked, because he was Amir Abdullah's coach at Nebraska.
Yeah. Muslim.
Guess what? Amir, not a Christian. Yeah, I mean, Amir Abdullah is a devout Muslim. He was a practicing Muslim. Ron was asked about that behind closed doors. And Ron said he learned a lot about himself. He learned a lot about life. And he said he learned a lot about God by being Amir's coach. And he said the two of them had an incredibly good relationship and an incredibly good understanding, even though specific religious beliefs strongly differed.
So they were able to coexist.
Just like the,
it's amazing
just
how
like
it works
the bumper
out.
Sticker. Hey, it wasn't even a coexist. That's the thing. I think Ron Brown changed a lot under Amir Abdullah in terms of how he views people with different belief systems.
And which you should.
I totally agree.
And I get the point of evangelizing. It's just, but if somebody doesn't want to be evangelized, lay up. Sometimes, you know, you don't have to do that.
Take me. I want to marry a chair.
You do?
No, not really.
Do you want a rocking chair? Do you want a leather recliner?
Do you know what's really nice? Those glider rockers.
Oh, I know. I got one upstairs.
Those things are freaking sweet.
I know. They put you to sleep, man.
Oh.
They were the best when we had our kids are grown now.
All of our kids to sleep in a glider rocker.
Yep.
Miss that.
Boy, our kids are getting old, by the way.
We're getting old.
We are
really tangenting hard right now.
We went
from Ron Brown Muslims and gays to glider rockers.
Well, your daughter's going to be a senior. You're going to have a freshman.
Going to have a sixth grader.
Going to have a sixth grader. I have an unemployed college graduate who's now living at home. I'm going to have a college freshman, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. And I'll have.
Did you just say Rock Sock Jayhawk?
No, I said Rock Chalk.
I'm pretty sure that one stuck to the tape, Travis.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
You just said Rock Chalk Dayhawk.
Dayhawk. Hey, listen, I haven't been assimilated yet. I'll get there. I'll be junior in high school.
Let's get back to the subject matter. Ron Brown. Overall, I think it's a decent move.
Okay, but is it always great to hold on to the history like this? I mean, the past is great, But you can't live through the past.
But I don't know if this is fully living through the past. Okay. You got a guy who I think is well entrenched in the program, known in the state, has a good relationship with the university, and has a great relationship with the people of this state. And I don't think that's a bad thing. At the same time, again, I go back to the fact that I think that this is a guy whose belief system, in the sense of being able to deal with differing belief systems, his methods of dealing with different belief systems have changed. Now, he may prove me wrong in that point. I'm going off of what he said behind closed doors, no media around, a few years ago when he was Amir Abdullah's coach, and the things he said about dealing with a guy who had some decidedly different beliefs than he did, that I think he's changed. And I think he's, I don't want to say softened his stance, but I think he's changed in how he thinks about people with a different belief system than what he has. And so I'm okay with that. Now, you bring up a whole nother point when you start talking about the kind of going for past history. Frost made a great example, or made a great comment about this at Big Ten Media Days when he talked about the fact, he kind of referenced it to say, hey, let's say you've got a corporation that's at the top of its field for a number of years and then kind of falls by the wayside. Maybe you should go back and look at what made it good back when it was at the top of its game. And I think Nebraska's done that. I look at a guy like Zach Duvall. Zach Duvall, Boyd Epley. No, he most decidedly isn't. But he's also an incredibly outstanding strength coach who I think uses some very innovative methods when it comes to training athletes. He also uses some methods that are very old school. I mean, you look at that, there's the video floating around on social media of Tanner Farmer squatting 765 pounds. Interview today, he talked about, you know what, it's probably a little bit of an unrealistic goal, but I want to squat 1,000 pounds. And he makes the point, what's the use of having a goal if it's not a little bit unrealistic? He goes, if goals are easy to attain, what's the purpose of having a goal? All of a sudden, Tanner Farmer just became my favorite offensive lineman on the team.
I was on the golf course today, and I asked my buddy Tony, who's a regular listener of the Husker Doc Talk podcast, so what do you need? Any questions for Rob? Want to know anything? And he,
I love Tony.
And Tony's a good guy, and he's just like, I think everybody's qualified now. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be sitting out, are they?
Yeah, is it Maurice Washington? I think was the one person that I think that's the player that I think fans were really waiting to see.
Yeah,
because I think
he's in.
From a difference-making standpoint, this is the guy that could really be a difference maker. Now, I think when it comes to offensive playmakers, I think that's where he fits in at. But all of a sudden, I think Frost now has a few guys that he can do a little bit of damage, and he kind of even hinted about that in a few interviews prior to Big Ten Media Days, that he thinks he has enough pieces of the puzzle that he can truly make his offense work. And I think that's something he wasn't sure he had when he first hit the door in Lincoln. We talked about how surprised the coaching staff was. Lack of recruiting in certain areas, a lot of lack of physical development and conditioning. I think Frost is sitting here now looking at some of the guys he's got. You've got the holdovers like Spielman. You've got the new guys like Washington, Martinez. I think he's got some playmakers. He's got some players that he can use, and I think that's a great thing. I don't know how the defense is going to be. It's going to – last year was just a complete throw because you had an Iowa guy trying to coach the defense, for God's sakes, and that was just a complete cluster.
I'll give you that. I will give you that 100%.
We all saw the strain. The strain was everywhere last year on defense. I don't know how that's going to be. Eric Chenander, I think there's things I really respect about the guy. The guy's kind of he's a gutsy defensive coordinator because he sends guys after. He wants turnovers. He wants sacks. He wants big plays. And he's willing to give up big plays to get those. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with Nebraska's defense. I don't know if we've got the guys that he had at Central Florida to be able to do that. He had some amazing, amazing athletes to work with when he was down there. I hope he has enough guys that he can do it. I think Nebraska is still really, really thin at the defensive back spot. I think they've got some very good defensive linemen, but it's not a very deep group. Linebacker, I think, is probably one of the strongest positions on the team, but you can only do so much with a really strong linebacking core. So, well, we'll see how that plays out, but you've got some guys that I think Chenander can play with that'll be fun to watch. I think Frost has a group of players that I think Frost is going to try and cut loose with. I think Scott's got more on the off. He and Verduzco and the rest of the guys on offense have more to work with than the guys on defense do right now.
It'll be interesting. Of course, so we're recording this on Thursday, practice having started. So when we record next week, we'll have a lot more to talk about as stuff will come into light. Hey, what are you doing this Saturday? I just want to tell you about an opportunity to help Scare Away Cancer. I'm involved with Scare Away Cancer, and it's a pretty thing like getting
To the last Scare Away Cancer event.
Yes, you did. You went to Boo Brew.
And I drank beer.
You did.
At that event.
Well, this Saturday, all day long at the grand opening of the Rocket Car Wash just off of 84th and Giles in Omaha, if you take your car through the Rocket Car Wash and get the Rocket Wash at $24, I think, and it's great because you don't have to tip here. They don't take tips. It's a great wash, and it has a new feature that the only car wash in Omaha, it's a buffer at the end. It actually buffs your car. But 50% of every Rocket Wash is going to go to Scare Away Cancer. There's going to be first 100 cars through the car wash in the morning get a free smoothie. I believe Hog Wild's going to be there handing out free sliders. There's going to be $1,000 cash giveaway.
Barbecue.
So it just helps Scare Away Cancer. It's a great organization run by volunteers where all they do is give away money. That's all they do to families who need it. And we can turn around a check in less than 24 hours. If you call and say, hey, I can't pay for my car payment, we make that car payment. So it's a great cause. It's not very well known, but we're growing. And you can just help us out by going to the Rocket Car Wash just on the other side of 84th and Giles in La Vista and check it out. That'd be great. Rob, are you ready to start going once a week? Are you ready to go once a week?
Dude, I am there for you.
You are the man. Of course, we want to thank our sponsors, Infusion Brewing. Oh, my God, the beer tonight is so good.
It's a good beer. I'm liking the Nelson's IPA.
It is really, really good.
It's a good IPA.
Thanks to Chad at Ticket Express. When you need Husker tickets, TicketExpress.com.
Scott
at Husker Hounds. And, of course, Dave Remington at the Remington Trophy, our presenting sponsor. January 12, 2019, the Remington Trophy celebration at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. Check out the watch list. Go to RemingtonTrophy.com. For Dr. Rob Zadis, I'm Travis Justice. The season is here. Let's play some football. We'll talk to you next week on the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy.